President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 29th on the West Coast, now March the 30th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. And we'd also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. Well, lots of things to talk about tonight. I was looking at a chart of earthquake activity around the world, and it seems like the whole planet's quaking. What's interesting is what's been in the news recently is where most of these earthquakes are located. And before we bring on tonight's guest and get into that topic and some others, particularly consciousness and developing an awareness of what's really going on, thought we might listen to a little bit of Yellow Jackets to take us outside the box. This is Claire's song. Thank you. a live performance from the North Sea Jazz Festival going back a number of years. I think that was 1994, the Yellow Jackets and Claire's song, featuring on keyboards Russell Ferrante on actually that instrument there, even though he usually plays sax, that was the Akai Iwi 1000. Iwi standing for electronic wind instrument. And that's Bob Mincer, a very, very famous and awesome sax player. Jimmy Haslip on bass. And on drums, we had William Kennedy. That's the Yellow Jackets. Hopefully that took you outside the box sufficiently, raised the vibration a little bit around here, especially with all the insanity going on. We've been talking about that. Last night, I featured a talk between Jiddu Krishnamurti and Dr. Alan W. Anderson talking about the art of listening. Do we really listen? Do we really pay attention? And when we do, what aspect of our being is actually claiming to do the listening and the hearing and with that, the understanding? If we're not listening and trying to understand what someone is saying, and music is a perfect example because musicians express their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions through what they do, and they're communicating ideas to you. And if you're open to receive the ideas, you expand. Your consciousness expands. And when you learn to listen to lots of things going on, like in the composition we heard, you learn to listen multidimensionally, and you recognize the truth. You hear the truth, and you can also recognize the lies when they come out. Right now, there's a heck of a lot of lying going on in terms of government and their announcements about the financial sector. We're speaking about the world finances and the world economies and all the different games that are going on. People are losing their savings everywhere. Why is that? Why is money being depreciated? Why are countries being taken over? Why are we experiencing earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and all kinds of aberrant weather? Why is this all going on? What do we see when we look at this? What do we hear when we listen to the explanations? And most of the time, we don't even get explanations. It's those out in the alternative media on shows such as this one where you hear a little bit of a different slant on what's going on, because we know technologies exist throughout the universe, not just here. Throughout the universe, there are technologies that can be used to cause these things. And certainly governments and certain military institutions on this planet, sponsored by corporations such as petroleum companies, get into these technologies because they like controlling society. And so if we're going to recognize what's going on and liberate ourselves from this this one-way path down a dead-end street, then we've got to become aware. We've got to pay attention. We've got to use our God-given gifts to perceive the truth. And you're not going to find that from those that are causing all the havoc and destruction and chaos around the planet. That's done by design. And when you understand that and make efforts to expand your consciousness, guess what? You'll see things in a different light, and you'll see that a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. A lot of it is propaganda, mind control, indoctrination, all the things designed to control you. And once you expand yourself outside of the narrow parameters of all of those methodologies of control, you free yourself. You become the creative being that God created you to be, and all of us. And we start to recognize the similarities that we all have with each other rather than the differences. And the similarities are what draw us together and make us stronger as people inhabiting a planet. Now, we're going to talk about some of these things in sort of an abstract way, I think, tonight with tonight's guest, who is himself an environmental scientist, a chemist, an herbalist, and a musician. My good friend, he's been on the show going on 4 years now, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you. Great to be back.
Well, you know, I'm looking at a chart here, Michael, of earthquakes, and there seem to be a lot of earthquakes taking place in the region of the West Coast, all up and down the western edge, the Pacific edge of the United States, going up into Canada, even up to Alaska, central Alaska. Now, these aren't massive quakes, 1.7, 1.3. There was one in Taiwan 51 minutes ago, 4.7. We have some 1.4s, 1.2s in south or southern California into Nevada. Some are in the range between 1.5 and let's say 2.0. And then Japan is having some rather larger quakes. They may call these aftershocks. The depths are kind of interesting because there's one in Taiwan that's 22.3 miles, in Japan, 22.3 miles, kilometers, I misspoke, 22.3 kilometers. Kind of interesting how both of those are at the same depth. The Gulf of Aden, which has been in the news for a number of reasons. You have a flotilla of, an international flotilla of ships circling the Gulf of Aden. They've had a 4.4 and a 4.6, and there's talk of a dimensional portal that opened maybe about 6 weeks to 2 months ago. That's the reason for the stories about the piracy, to keep people from wanting to go to that area. Yemen, the Gulf of Aden, Puerto Rico, Central California, up there in the 2.5 to 3.7 range, and seems to be following a pattern of the Ring of Fire. Any comment you'd like to make on that, Michael?
Well, yes, Don, definitely. It's following the pattern of the Ring of Fire, simply because that is a very vulnerable plate, essentially in geologic terms. The crust of the earth is believed to be floating on various plates. And you have the Pacific plate, the Atlantic plate, Indian plate. And so like here on our West Coast that you were mentioning, that San Andreas Fault is the interface between the Pacific and the Atlantic plate. Most of the United States is situated on the Atlantic plate, and the end of the West Coast there is starting on the Pacific plate. And so the San Andreas Fault actually runs all the way down from southern Mexico, Central America, all the way up into Alaska. And so they're monitoring sensitivity along that fault line, and it's been predicted for decades, since I was at least in studying to be an environmental scientist, that it was a very sensitive interface and very vulnerable to quakes and a lot of seismic activity associated with that, even volcanoes. You know, back in the mid-90s, roughly, in Southern California, Monmouth Mountain was suspected to be maybe going volcanic. Now, that's been pretty quiet. I haven't really heard much more on that particular area, but there was at the time a lot of toxic gases emanating out of the ground on that mountainside. Trees were dying, and so they were suspecting that it was going volcanic right there. And so obviously according to that data, Don, something's happening. Things are picking up with frequency, and God forbid it'll be also increasing in amplitude, because that's when it gets destructive. But things are happening with the Earth in a seismic way, and I anticipate that we're going to see more of it. It's also occurring on a lot of the planets in the solar system. Earthquakes, volcanic activity, it's all being monitored. And so obviously changes are underway. What's triggering it all is still being debated. And my take on it is that because the Earth, the solar system, is orbiting around a larger, greater sun in the universe itself, and our orbiting plane is not static and linear so much as it's actually a spiraling upward type of orbit. And so we're positioning in a new place in the universe that we normally haven't been in before. Now, astronomers apparently are reporting new alignments with star systems, also different positions of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would be confirming that this is happening. And as a result, there's all kinds of new energies that the Earth is experiencing exposure to, and most likely that's inducing some type of stress
mm-hmm.
on the planet.
Yes, and you know that stress or that energy permeates to the surface of the planet, and it's picked up by people, usually on a subconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
But you can track the goings on in certain regions and almost equate what some of these readings are, and look at the general demeanor of the people. I don't necessarily mean their consciousness, but just their moods, the way they're acting, and it influences events. I'm looking at the list. In Tarapacá, Chile, they had a 4.7 about 17 hours ago at 127.8 kilometers depth. And Puerto Rico had one 19 hours ago, 102.7 kilometers. Here's a couple of interesting ones. 21 hours ago, south of the Fiji Islands, a 4.6 at 505.6 kilometers in depth. And then the Fiji region 22 hours ago had a 4.3 at 554.8 kilometers. That's pretty deep. That sounds like the bottom of the tectonic plates, doesn't it?
Yes, Don. Not quite sure how accurate those readings are with the depth. 500 kilometers is approximately, about 380 miles?
Somewhere around that area, yeah.
And, you know, Don, I just don't think the crust is that thick. And so I'm not quite sure about that.
Well, this is the USGS feed, which I find rather interesting.
Yep, I just don't think the crusts are really that thick.
So then you're saying that you think that this data may be inaccurate. Why would they predict such a low depth? One would ask.
Yes, I just don't know, Don, if they're able to really be accurate with measurements like that. You know, I mean, they don't have the Earth all figured out yet. That's for sure. At least they don't make it clear to us that they do. Now, inner circles.
What if they were using a technology that they could predict, you know, to what depth it would be used? Let's say if it was a sound technology. That might be possible.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not ruling it out. I believe everything is possible. And so not dismissing it entirely, but it just doesn't fit in with my understanding of the structure of the Earth. and the thickness of the crust.
Yeah.
And so I just don't see it really being the crust that thick. I just don't see it. And their ability to actually monitor a signal for that depth through a solid piece of earth, you know, the crust itself for that depth.
Well,
if it was truly that
have an underground base.
That's right. Now they do. Okay. Underground bases are obviously well established. And, but are they, you know, actually going that deep? No, no. They're down maybe a mile or two or three into the earth. Okay. But I can't see them being much deeper than that.
Yeah.
And, so, and again, is the crust that thick? I don't think so. I think the crust of the earth is somewhere. It's somewhere around, maybe 10 miles thick, Don. I just don't think it's
much thicker than that. It could easily go down 100 miles, maybe 120, 125 miles, but in certain places.
Yeah, it's going to vary. It won't be uniform.
However, these are quite, this is quite deep, okay? And so one wonders how they're doing it, what technology they have, and why we're not hearing about this. This is like Guinness Book of World Records statistics here, you know, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. Well, if we look at this objectively, rather than get all emotional and fear-bound by the numbers and the frequency that these are occurring, and they seem to be occurring on the hour, with some exceptions. When you get more toward recent time, they go back into minutes, you know. Certainly, like within the last hour to hour and a half, they're listing a number of them in terms of, you know, these same statistics that I was describing. I guess what I'm getting at now is we could look at, okay, well, why is all this happening? First of all, some of it is artificially induced. There's no question about that. And then other quakes can certainly be a result of what has been artificially induced. And, you know, further settling, aftershocks, the term foreshock kind of strikes me funny, because we could go long periods of time without an earthquake and then suddenly there's a very strong earthquake and they say it's a foreshock. What is it that they know is going to happen that they label it as such, especially when it comes out of nowhere and, you know, over a period of time, nothing's happened. Then we can look at the fact that the earth is changing and is always changing. And this is sort of a balancing act. In other words, the earth is balancing the universe. Do you need to answer that?
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay. Michael, we've got a caller on the line. I want to see if he's still there. I don't know how long this message was up here. But if it's a question or a comment to tonight's guest, Michael Anthony, Robert, you're on Evident Footprints.
Yes, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Question or comment for tonight's guest?
A couple of questions, a couple of comments here, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call, by the way. Here's the thing, and I've been studying the USGS for quite a while now, and I've been studying the Earth's changes for quite a while, and I'm just another person trying to follow the connected dots. And one of my questions is, if we look at this in a logical sense, it would seem to me that the Earth is going through an expansion period. If you actually take a look at Earth as a whole and reduce the size of the Earth right now down to a quarter of what it is right now, you would see that all the plates reduce themselves back down to formation, is what the scientists would call Pangaea, which would be one large land mass right now. It would seem to me that Earth is expanding because as it expands outward through the geological process of the Earth, and, of course, our solar system, which they all go through the same expansion. And I would assume, I'm not saying I know, but I would just assume that this happens on a universal level, that as you can see the Earth expand, the plate tectonics stretching across the Atlantic plates and the Pacific plates, there is actually no subduction, but a lot of scientists would actually have you believe that there's a lot of subduction that takes place. I think the only subduction that actually takes place is on coastal lines where land masses fall off and split and spread. That's one of my questions. What is your theory on that?
Well, are you asking me or my guest,
yes,
Mike Landon?
I'm asking your guest.
Well, I don't know that he has a theory on that, but...
Okay.
You know.
Well, I believe that it is true that the Earth is expanding. Everything is really actually expanding. And it may be true that there are some measurements determining that to be a fact as well, as those that study the Earth in a geologic way are confirming that fact. And, of course, that would contribute to seismic activity as the plates are – everything's in a state of flux. That's for sure. We know the Earth is moving. Right. The Earth is moving. The Earth is rotating. Everything is moving. And so since everything's in a state of flux, there's going to be – seismic activity consistently at critical area junction points, at fault lines that are called the interfaces of plates. So that's all, I'm sure, absolutely reliable fact.
Michael, if I could, I'd like to ask Robert a question. And, of course, you could chime in on this. Robert, why would you say necessarily expansion, let's say, as opposed to contraction or mere shifting, realignment,
sure,
for example.
Sure. My thought process is this, that because the Earth has grown a third of what it was originally, I believe that the Earth's core is actually plasmatic and not an iron core, a molten iron core. Molten iron cores, of course, cannot have a magnetic field. It's not possible. Even in a rotational process, mm-hmm, any kind of iron cannot have a magnetic field, but plasma is extremely magnetic. Now, this is not my theory, by the way. This is theories of other scientists that I've heard speak about this, that if the the plasmatic core of the Earth is energetic, that all the solar particles that inundate our planet and that pass through us and go in through the core of the planet is captured by the plasma and is expelled upward, thus creating growth of the planet. And I think that's why maybe, and it does make some sense to me, that why we have a Jupiter, which is a gaseous planet, and Saturn, which is a gaseous planet, and we have the smaller planets.
Wait a second. Hang on a second, Robert. If I were to disagree with you on saying that necessarily these planets are gaseous, would that make me your enemy? In other words,
no, absolutely not.
Okay, if I say I know that there's mining going on Saturn, and there are actually diverse groups up there mining, okay, maybe beryllium, for example, then if they're able to mine, then it's not a gaseous planet. Why are we being told it's a gaseous planet? See, this is the whole crux of what we're talking about here. We're given only so much information as to what the nature of our planet is, or the other planets in our solar system, or our solar system, or our galaxy, or our universe, the whole of everything. And it's, if it's convenient to dumb the people down, see, tonight we're talking about discerning what's going on, right? And I think you're bringing up some good points, but I'm going to take issue, not to be against you, but to clarify this issue, that to say that a planet is 700 degrees Celsius and uninhabitable, and I know that there are people living on that planet, there's a contradiction there. Okay.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you one bit. I'm just going by the common I'm going by basic scientific terminology here. I'm not disagreeing with you in any way, because anything is possible in my eyes. Anything is possible. So
yes.
I'm just saying we're going through these earth changes right now. I'm trying to figure out in my mind, why are we going through these? I mean, I'm looking at our planet with dual frequencies of tectonic movements and the size of the frequencies of earthquakes that we're going through. So that's why I actually called in, because I'm seeing a dual frequency taking place right now, and we're all talking about why are these earthquakes getting more frequent in size and in seismic activity.
Yeah, it's a very broad topic, and it's more. It's larger than what we have time for on the show tonight, but
absolutely. But thank you for taking my call, and I definitely enjoy talking to you. I would say that whatever is ahead for us, we'll all have to deal with it on a planetary level. I mean, we've all witnessed the atrocity that took place on in Japan.
Yes,
it's horrific. Those people will be trying to recover for years and years and years. If we can get past the 2011, 2012, 2013, I don't put a date on it. I just know that all everything is coming to fruition right now between, of course, the Mayan calendar and the I Ching and the Egyptian calendar and so on and so forth. I mean, we all know that something catastrophic is coming, and I think we're all trying to deal with it at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
However the outcome comes, I just hope that a greater portion of humanity can survive this.
Yeah. As a general rule of thumb, I personally don't feel that calendars can predict the doom of a planet or control the forces that cause the destruction of a planet. So there's a lot of fear-mongering going on, but I agreed
100%.
You know,
yes, but nonetheless, Don, like you were mentioning earlier, a lot of people are feeling, sensing something going on, some kind of change is coming. Now, where's that coming from? From their psyche, their intuition. And that's, I'm sure, due to our psyche just being tuned in naturally by design from our creator. We're plugged in to the fundamentals of reality, of nature herself, and at the psyche level, people are realizing something is coming our way, and all in all, not sure what that is, and because of that alone, that's going to induce fear, because we're not sure what that is.
Well, they have to work that out through their thought processes. You see, the thought processes, as we discussed even on last night's show, are steered by experience and information that leads them down a particular belief system, you see?
Yeah, but nonetheless, when you encounter unknowns, there's always trepidation, fear associated with that naturally, and because it's an unknown, and you have to have caution, and fear will be associated with that caution. And so that's natural, too. And And so my take on it is that just like, and I've always covered this and it's perfect timing again, the Fatima incident in 1913 is all about the change, or at least the main message was that there's changes coming at the end of the century, which is our century that we're into now, that we just left the 20th into the 21st century, that there were going to be changes with the Earth herself, and that the Earth itself has the right to restore herself to a level of balance and harmony that she rightfully deserves. I mean, obviously, it doesn't exist right now on the surface.
I think it goes on all the time. And it doesn't need necessarily a heralded message to realize that.
Well, this is going to be abrupt, Don. This isn't going to be a gradual, incremental shift. This is going to be an abrupt shift from a certain state of conditions that are going to be totally altered into a new state and conditions. Yeah. Now, this new state will not be a lot of people that are not already aligned with these new conditions will have a hard time acclimating, and many probably won't be able to because they're technically going to be clinging to an old set of conditions that are dying.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with
right.
that.
And this is ultimately, I think, what's going on.
Too.
Yeah.
And like the Lord said, it'll be like the birth pangs. Mother Nature will be experiencing a lot of earthquakes in diverse places, and they will be like the pangs of a woman in travail, ready to give birth. And so the Lord himself touched upon that around. And I believe that's coinciding with exactly our timing, where in our time frame right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, I think that Robert's right on with the interior of the Earth being more plasma. And you see, the reason why I go with about 10-mile depth of crust is because a lot of reports all around the world of tunnel systems that go into the interior of the Earth, they're all over the place. And the reports are pretty consistent, interestingly, that they seem to travel about 8 to 10 miles down, and then the Earth opens up, and there's a lot of light, a lot of heat, and it's pretty much hollow. There's all kinds of geologic activity within the inside of the Earth. The internal nature of the Earth is there's lakes or rivers or oceans, but there's some kind of light source that seems to be plasmatic. And when you study photographs of the Aurora Borealis, we're told that it's emanating from magnetic activity from space induced by the sun. However, when you study the photographs of the Aurora Borealis, you'll see that there's a consistent tail emanating from the Earth, not from space. So it would support the theory that there's a light source emanating at the poles of the planet, and that the Aurora Borealis is actually an effect from that light source coming from space.
Well, it could also be a piezoelectric effect that's occurring just because of the shifting magnetic fields.
Well, but you see, when you study the photographs, you'll see that there's a clear tail. It's not just a broad kind of pattern of a light display. The light display itself is broad and patterned when you observe the Aurora Borealis in the sky, but there seems to be a tail at the beginning or the end of it that is going right to the specific center of the Earth or at the pole of the Earth. Okay? And so now the poles, the magnetic poles are not physical. They're above the Earth. They're not on the crust. They're above it. And so the Aurora Borealis, though, that tail is going right from the Earth.
Yeah.
And that tells me that it's more evidence that the Earth is hollow. There is some kind of light source, and most likely it has to be a plasma, just like our outer sun is a huge plasma ball.
Well, I just wanted to add that, Admiral Byrd, when he had his expedition to the North Pole, said that there was a very large hole that entered into the center of the Earth. Now, of course, I can't confirm or deny this. It's just speculation as far as I'm concerned. but I don't think the man had any reason to lie about his expedition and what he had actually gone through.
Well, you know, first of all, they say he said that.
Correct.
None of us heard that out of his mouth. So
that's right.
Well, absolutely.
Nonetheless,
that's why I said speculation.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that's all. That's right. We have to just assume that those reports are valid. But let's look at what happened to Admiral Byrd. He comes back.
Let me interrupt for a second here, because we do have another caller holding also. I've spoken to many pilots who have flown over that part of the Earth on numerous occasions. I've even spoken to one that flies a saucer and goes out into space. And the reports I get are there are no holes.
Well,
there are no visible holes there. So
all the reports of airplane pilots, Don, it's none of them fly over the pole because you get lost. Okay, because it's roughly the magnetic field at the pole is about 100 miles diameter. Once you're within that circle, everywhere your compass is pointing is true north.
Well,
no matter what direction you're going in.
If you're out of the range of the magnetic pole on a compass, you can observe it. From space.
You can observe. Yes, right.
Why don't they show us pictures? Why don't they show us satellite images?
Well, I have some. Okay. And unfortunately, it's on a drive from a Tiger OS-9 system that crashed, so I have to fix that so I can recover this data. But I've got a photo of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, for example, all the planets exhibit anomalies at the equators and at the poles, with the wind patterns
mm-hmm.
being the opposite of the way the convection currents are in the rest of the hemisphere. No, and scientists were always baffled as to what's going on there, what's causing that. All right. And so these anomalies at the poles would also support that something's happening at the poles that is very unusual for the science we were led to believe that the Earth is solid. And so now the photos I have of Mars show a polar opening, and I have some photos of the Earth showing the polar opening. And apparently, when we see the Earth at the poles, they've been doctored so that we do not see those openings. Now, also, let's consider this. Why do we have major bases at both poles if there's nothing there? It doesn't make any sense. And not just us, but all the countries in the world all the developed countries in the world with a good military, especially in the Western Hemisphere, they all are allowed to have bases at the poles. Why is that? If there's nothing there. Now, also at the North Pole, there's been reports documented, besides sailors, old ocean travelers and stuff in the past, stumbling upon the poles, but you have the fact that in the northern Arctic area, all the wildlife migrate further north instead of south. Why? Because it gets warmer when you get further north. Now, how can that be if it's all frigid? And also reports of pollens in the snow when you get really further north. Now, where are those pollens coming from? You see? So there's something going on here for sure that we're not being told. Now, I believe Admiral Byrd found that, and that's why immediately or shortly thereafter, coming back from the North Pole, they sent him down to the South Pole and under Operation High Jump. But I believe that was also part of his expedition to just verify that the same thing is at the South Pole that he encountered at the North Pole.
Maybe that's what Ross Perot was referring to when he described a giant sucking sound. Anyway, Michael, I want to move along. Robert, I want to thank you for your calls. Very insightful
thank
comments.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you.
Where are you calling from, by the way? I'm just curious. What part of the country?
I'm sorry?
What part of the country are you calling from?
Oh, I'm in Arizona.
Arizona. Okay. Well,
Well,
do call in again. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Okay. Eddie, you're on Evident Footprints. Question or comment for tonight's guest, Michael Anthony.
Yes, Don. Thank you for having me on. Great show. Michael, how are you, bud?
Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, I told you I'd call. I'm right here. I'm up. I'm calling. And I'd like to, you guys know a lot more than what I do about the situation, but maybe I can add my two cents in. As far as earthquakes are concerned, you know, I've been doing a little bit of research from other talk show hosts, and just to give you an idea, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think in the last, I think from 1900 to 1950, there was maybe one or two major earthquakes. From 1950 to 1975, I think there was maybe nine, and then from 1975 till now, there was roughly over 300 earthquakes. So if you look at those numbers there, it's not exactly accurate, but it's along those lines. If you look at those numbers, that big of a jump, there's something, I think far more, you know, a bigger hand, you know, at work here. Maybe it could be Mother Nature being so aggravated on how man has raped and pillaged itself and the earth, you know, as a whole, or maybe this could be a combination of both man-made and natural disaster. Because if you look at basically, you know, ever since we blew up the bomb in Los Alamos, there's been numerous underground, you know, nuclear bomb tests from, you know, all the major developed countries in the world. You know, you can look at it that way. And also you can look at it, you know, as far as HAARP is concerned up in Alaska, you know, shooting 3 million watts of energy into the atmosphere and controlling the weather pattern. They could probably do it, you know, with the same technology, maybe some different technology that can make the earth, you know, make man-made earthquakes. What would you guys think about that?
Very good points. I'm in agreement with what you're saying. I think it's a combination of things, because when you start playing with nature, nature has a tendency to fight back. It's designed.
And I agree 100%. But, you know, guys, listen, man, you're seeing what's happening with our banking system, you know, from the Federal Reserve, the central bank. Now you have the IMF and you have the World Bank. And you're seeing all these things happening, and it looks like they're all happening by design. And as far as the media is concerned, you know, it's, you know, I'm going off here on a tangent a little bit, I'm sorry. But, you know, you look at Fukushima, you look at what happened with the earthquakes that happened out there in Japan. You know, God bless those people, and hopefully, you know, things work out for them. But if you notice that, in the media, the big thing was about Libya, big thing was about the Middle East. All of a sudden this happened, you know, in Fukushima, and all of a sudden that all the stuff that's happening in the Middle East is like what goes away, okay? It's like it never even happened.
Yes.
You hear about this from Japan for about a week or so, then all of a sudden, you know, here comes back the Middle East. He thought it was all done with, and it's not. There's so much that's being not told to us in this country by our government and by our government-controlled media, and it's you only get one side of the story. That's what I feel. What do you guys feel?
Well, go ahead, Michael. I'm in agreement with you, Eddie.
Absolutely, Eddie. I'm in agreement, too. I think you're spot on with your analysis.
Thank you.
Ultimately, what we have to just realize is that the Earth itself is definitely going through her own changes. In man's world, there's an incredible amount of manipulation. And ultimately, like I've always explained this, and we've just covered this not within the last couple of weeks, I believe, Don, as well, where my understanding of what's going on is that there's an old system that's dying, and there's a new system that's going to be born and emerging. And the new system is God's new, that will be God's new world order. Okay, where everything is going to become a much nicer, peaceful, harmonious habitat here on this planet. And we're going to be under an influence of new radiations, which are going to create these conditions and simultaneously prevent any kind of old system activity to exist, which means a lot of fear, a lot of manipulation, a lot of negative thought patterns that are destructive on everything.
Yes.
So, for example, with a lot of the earthquake activity and stuff that is man-made, not just from technology, Eddie, but also from man's actions, his karmic energies that he's generated into the ethers.
Wonderful. Absolutely. And, those, you know,
and that's, that's right. That's going to come back and bite us in our butts because we're generating a lot of negative energy. Where does it go? It just doesn't disappear. It's like when they when the scumbags rip off, crash the stock market. Where did all the money go? It didn't disappear. It's in their pockets.
It went and through that hole in the North Pole is where it went.
And,
I love it.
And
so let me say one thing, Mike. Michael.
Sure, go ahead.
Let me say one thing. I'm sorry. Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from, and I'd have these, you know, theories of my own or whatever, and I would always take the weather by, you know, for example, like, I'm up here in New York, you're in New York, you know, so you know how winds have been in the last, say 3-4 years. The wind is so violent at times, like, you'll be sitting there, and it's, like, still, and then the wind will just come, and it'll just be violent. Violent gusts.
That's right.
I've never seen that. I've been alive almost 40 years on this planet. And that could be a reason. That could be a reaction to the karmic view of everybody's mental, you know, their mentality at the time and
you're talking about consciousness, I think. And
yeah,
and,
but everybody's collective consciousness at the time is so uncertain that it could transfer into the weather system. So many types of storms, so many different types of wind patterns. It could, you know, if you have a calm state of mind,
that's right. Yes.
People have a calm state of mind. You have a calm surroundings, an environment. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And think of it this way too, though. A lot of mental activity out there, 24/7, 365, is centered and focused on generating hate energies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's going to come back to haunt us.
Here's another aspect of this whole situation, if I could say so, gentlemen. And that's we're witnessing spiritual warfare, okay? And it takes on different levels in terms of thought, in terms of universal mind, and the minds of those that are experiencing life here and elsewhere. We're all interacting with all of this, and the reason we're talking about this is so we get a handle on it ourselves. We don't have to move into fear. Fear is not going to solve the problem. It's not going to stop it, but
it creates problems. You know?
It actually creates more chaos. You see, and it causes these disruptions that we're talking about.
That's right.
But also,
now,
you know, the fear creates that, and you know, as far as the media is concerned. You know, I'll let you go after this. I know it's getting late here. But listen, as far as the media is concerned, their main focus is to instill fear into people, the panic of, you had your 9/11, okay, with the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and all of a sudden then you had Hurricane Katrina, then you had the economic collapse, now you have the New World Order. Everybody's, you know, freaking out and flipping out and is so scared. You know, it's going to come to the point where you're going to sit in the corner and cower, or you're going to stand up and say, I'm not going to take this crap anymore. Try to make a change in your life that's positive. Maybe that will trickle down, you know, and because it's contagious. Just like they say, depression is contagious. So it's being positive and being a good person and trying to help people and standing up and having the self-esteem, you know. And
yes,
thanks very much for the call, guys. Mike, you're the best. I'll talk to you, all right?
God bless, Eddie. Nice to hear from
Eddie,
you.
Thank you for the call. Do call in again.
You got it, Don. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
It's right on the money. And just to expand on that further, you see, we are the lords of this planet. It's human beings that have dominion over the earth, meaning that everything is under us. We're the top of the hierarchy of organic life form on this planet with consciousness and awareness. Everything is going to respond to our actions and our thoughts. And so as the lords of this planet, we are creating our conditions, and so everything we're experiencing is due to man's past and present activities.
And we have responsibility for what we create.
Absolutely, as lords, exactly.
It's not been the norm, at least for the past 13,000 years, but we could probably easily go back to 450,000 years and say the same thing, that it's been in this vicious cycle of repeating the mistakes because that's what kept this system in power.
Sure, you got it. That's right. And when that last golden age of total peace and harmony could have been approximately 450,000 years ago, Don. And but that's exactly how it is. And let's remember that there's this morphogenetic grid this consciousness grid around the planet. And so it's responding and transmitting and conducting and amplifying thought patterns. And so if enough people, like Eddie was saying, if at the individual level, this is the key. If we all operate in our own individual worlds in a harmonious, peaceful way, then we will offset a lot of the negative karma coming down the pike for the planet, because the morphogenetic grid is going to amplify, transmit, and distribute that around the planet. And more people's consciousness will pick it up. And this is the beauty of that grid. And that's why the powers that be are aware of it, and they try to control it and keep feeding it fear-oriented types of states of mind, so that they can control this world and keep their old system intact. And again, just what everything Eddie was mentioning, what's going on, it seems like all kinds of trauma in the financial world, political world, geopolitics, everything. And so all of that could be offset if enough people at the individual level just keep their own lives together. Be aware of what's going on around you, but don't let it penetrate you so it disrupts your field of harmony and peace that you're exhibiting throughout your personal world, your sphere of activity. And the stronger your personal power is, the greater that sphere will extend beyond you, because we're all magnetic beings, you know.
Yeah.
And so we all have magnetic fields, and personal power is one that has a huge magnetic field. The old saying, like, boy, that person has some magnetism to them there. I mean, this is old science. The old timers all knew this, that this is what we really are. We're magnetic beings with an awareness. And so if we all control our own particular sphere of activity and keep it harmonized and at peace, we will be able to offset it. And Don, as you've covered many times, we discussed it in the past. Look, when a violent storm is coming through, now what's causing that violent storm? Most likely karmic reaction being unleashed back in the world of man from nature. And yet, at the individual level, when we see that violent storm coming our way and it's going to be destructive, what do? We go out and say, halt, peace, please, no harm here. We're one with you. Just pass along in the name of the good Lord, correspond to Mother Nature as a living thing. The angels behind the storms are entities with their own volition, all serving in the hierarchy, the Almighty himself. And so when we're in harmony with them, we have nothing to fear, because even though a violent storm may be coming our way, we can simply dismiss it because it's not related to us. And next thing you know, everything's going, that monstrous storm will immediately cease. Now, the last time we had a real monster storm come through where it was going to be destructive, and we had one last winter, there was no harm. We lost power for 4 or 5 days, trees and limbs down everywhere, all around neighbors' properties, no harm on my property at all. And but about a year before that, in early September time frame, we had the effects of a hurricane coming up our way. So winds at least 70 miles an hour, huge pines that are 140 feet high, bending left and right. And my fig trees now in my yard are laden with fruit, and they're ready to pick. And I'm patiently waiting for that, because they're so good, and we live on them for quite a while. But those trees would have been really harmed. And my windows in the back room, the storm got my attention because I was inside working, and I thought somebody, my window in the back room broke, like a rock came through it or something. The rain was that hard. Never really seen a rain like that before. And so I had a friend, as it turns out, waiting in his car to come in and grab some formulas. But he wouldn't get out of the car because it was pouring so hard. You'd be soaking wet as soon as you stepped out of the car itself. You'd be drenched. The downpour was phenomenal. And all of a sudden, when I realized what was going on, and I'm looking out the back door and I see this, oh my God, these trees are bending in 100 yards away, these huge pines, and the winds are incredible. And I see my figs being tossed about, my fig trees being tossed about. So I immediately asked the nature spirit, which is a female, behind that particular storm, let her know that I'm really on good terms with Mother Nature, and she'll recognize that right away. And let everything be peaceful. Instantaneously, that hard rain turned into a trickle. The big winds disappeared. And now I get a knock on the door. I'm all elated because my fig trees are safe. Everything's safe in my backyard. And so I get a knock on the door. It's my friend. He comes in. He's grabbing the formulas. Now, he's got Lyme, and he's very concerned, and he's not sure if my formulas are really going to be helpful. So I'm explaining to him that I've got something here with the formulas. He's going to be fine. He's going to be very happy, and he's still having doubts. And I said, listen, I'm very connected, Richie. Don't worry. You'll see these formulas. They're really great. And so he's still having doubts. I said, Rich, did you see that big storm just blowing through? And he goes, oh, man, Mike, that was something. I said, did you notice how abruptly it stopped? He goes, that was amazing. I couldn't get over how. And I said, Rich, I just did that. So
yes,
just giving you an idea, Richie, that I'm connected.
Yeah.
And so at the individual level, we have that ability when our personal world is at peace and harmony with the Creator. And Mother Nature is part of the Creator, the feminine aspect of the Creator. And so there's nothing to fear when we're operating in that mode.
Yeah, you see, as long as you're not contributing to destruction, there's nothing there's nothing wrong with that. We have that ability. I've talked about that, commanding storms to move out of the area, rain, snow, and I've gotten confirmation from other people watching after I made these claims.
That's right. It's real.
There's nothing absurd about this. We can all do this. This is the point we're trying to make.
Exactly. We have dominion over the earth. And at the same time, because we're not contributing to that negative karma causing such violent reactions through storms, when the spirits behind it all are passing through to unleash it where it's deserved, they recognize, hey, you know, you're not part of that problem, and they leave you alone. Look, you know, when a tornado's coming along and it's ripping up all kinds of places and it's missing other places, I say that's not coincidence.
Oh yeah, that's true. Now we can contribute. Here's the thing, you see, is when one is aware of how to manipulate the weather, for example, or earth conditions, and actually manipulate it with technology, people go into a state of fear. Okay, they're concerned, and you mentioned caution. Both you and Robert, who were who called in a little while ago, mentioned the term caution. But the fear, caution is one thing. You know, I can exercise caution crossing a street. I don't have to be in fear while I'm crossing the street that suddenly everyone's going to step on their gas pedal and run me over as I'm passing through the crosswalk. There's a balance between those driving the cars and those walking across the street. Obviously, the driver knows that there are consequences if he or she decides to take off and run over pedestrians crossing the street. So it's a matter of courtesy, but there's an example there of how we should be treating each other on a global scale. And I'm leaving government out of the picture because they have their own game going on.
It's the Don. It's the governments that ruin everything. If the governments weren't existing, all the people of all the countries be getting along great.
Yeah, people tend to get along with the planet in general, and
that's right.
They go on vacations, they go camping, they go fishing, they go skiing, surfing, or just swimming, or just relaxing and appreciating the nature, and they're constantly pushed into situations that pull them in a different direction. You see. People tend to have a good time when they're in that state as well.
Exactly. It's a very positive everything. It's a very positive vibe when everybody's operating in that state. And there's a lot of respect.
Nature, you see, they're communing with nature when they're
exactly Don, things. and they're exhibiting respect towards nature. You know, like growing up when we hung out in the woods all the time, partying and stuff, everybody drinking their beer and everything. But guess what? We never left garbage behind. Yet today, we're seeing this disrespect from a lot of the kids today because they're just byproducts of, number one, the government fool system and all the crap they're being taught in those government schools, and the parents themselves today not even being really good at being parents because they're still kids themselves. They don't have any any method of discipline of, or instructing the kids on right and wrong. And I see kids leaving their trash around all the time, all over the place. And it's really pathetic because they don't have respect yet. But we never did that. And we always left nature exactly the way we left it, when we found it, when we left, because we were kids and we were still wild, but we still had that respect. We were taught that growing up. And we had that respect, and that's something that we got to make sure the kids catch back on to of these current generations. But that's it, Don. You got it. And that's why we have to get control back over our governments and get these scumbags that are controlling our money supply and then through their big corporations are raping and pillaging the entire earth, all the countries of the world. They're raping and pillaging and exploiting everything while they spread immoral activity, debased activity, debauchery, selling wrong for right, selling evil for good. And a lot of the people were buying it, and they got to snap out of that delusion. Because it's the governments that are the people in the governments, because the governments themselves, again, are just a piece of paper, a framework. The people in those governments that are so corrupted, they have to go. We have to get people that can't be corrupted in the positions of government again, so that finally we can get along as a people on the planet, all the countries. We'll have our differences, and that's fine. We're all individuals, and we'll be individualistic countries. But we'll have a sense of unity regarding our place on the globe, our responsibility as lords of the planet. We won't be greedy with stupid wanting more money than you can ever spend in 20 lifetimes.
Well, the corporations that put the governments in place that they prefer have to be held accountable for this too, because they are contributing to the pollution.
Amen.
And everything that goes with it. We don't have enough time to go into that, but
has to be accountability, you know, Don.
This thing of fear, okay? It's there's nothing wrong with knowing what's going on. We're talking about this. I remarked about the earthquakes. I thought this was rather interesting. I'm seeing a pattern here. You could say whether these are natural events or artificial events, there is a pattern. And the pattern is beyond coincidental. It fits date patterns. This is, by the way, we're in a time period. March 30th is one of their favorite dates. They pulled a few nuclear stunts a few years ago in Florida. At two nuclear facilities, something I had actually predicted, and I found evidence that the events occurred in the places and on the dates that I said they would. This happens to be one of those dates. So it's not about being fearful of the date. You know, there's a date that's alleged to have been on the Mayan calendar. Why are people freaking out over a calendar? You know, in the 50s, 60s, and into the 70s, The calendar of preference was the Playboy Playmate calendar. Suddenly, the consciousness has shifted to Mayan calendars. Why is that? Who's orchestrating this? You see, that fear doesn't solve any problems. Whether the calendar's predictions are true, no one even knows what they mean, other than it's a sign to those of us with intuition or using discernment, looking at it from a spiritual perspective, and from a true science perspective, that there are changes occurring, and we see them. Are we capable of affecting some sort of balance on this, mitigating it, that it's not this gigantic upheaval of the planet destroying all life? We contribute to it one way or another. We can either contribute to the negative aspects of the fear, or through love and expansion of our own consciousness, we can learn secrets that can mitigate it or even stop it. And we can apply those same principles to creating a new reality here. This one has worn out its welcome thousands of years ago.
That's right, Don. And it's, again, it's an old system that's been around for a few thousand years roughly, and it's dying. Its time has expired, and everything that clings to it will go away in the same kind of misery that this system is going to die in, because it's clinging. It's trying to hold on. It doesn't want to die. It knows its time has come. And so it's going to be traumatic for many, because this old system of misery, suffering, and corruption, and selfishness, it's all they know, unfortunately. And that's why they will perish along with it. And so again, with this Fatima incident now, have to bear in mind, even though a lot of people may still poo-poo that incident, but the fact of the matter is it was pouring rain on the main event of the last main event of the apparition of the lady known as the Immaculate Virgin. And she promised the kids a major event, and it didn't happen because the kids were kidnapped by the fascists, and they tried to bribe them to say that they were making all this up, mm-hmm. And that the kids refused to take the gold and everything, and they said they weren't lying, and they finally had to release them because about 70,000 people were here now for this big event. The word was all around.
It was witnessed by throngs who backed them up, of course.
And that's right, Don. And what they all experienced was that it was soaking wet because it was raining so torrentially that everything was mud, soaking wet. And then after the solar event happened with the sun dancing around, dislocating from its natural position and dancing around, and all kinds of supernatural things associated with people seeing all kinds of things in the sky. And then the sun was hurtling towards the earth, and the people were figuring it was the end of the world, and they were on their knees praying and crying. And then suddenly the sun restores itself, returning to its normal natural position, and everything is bone dry. To this day, the authorities, quote unquote, the authorities tell us that it was all a mass hallucination. It's amazing how roughly 70,000 people can all hallucinate the same
weather
thing.
Weather phenomenon, swamp gas.
And yeah, that's right, Don. And yet, though, they failed to mention that everything was suddenly bone dry, like desert dry from being total mud just minutes prior, proving it was an actual physical event. And so the main warning from Mary through the kids, who I interpret the Immaculate Virgin to be Mary, and who is an immortal, and I'm convinced that she earned her immortality. Of course, she was the vessel of the Lord himself, so how can she not earn her immortality shortly after her death? And she, to me, is the representation of Mother Nature as Mother Mary, as she's always been known. And the warning was that the earth will go through this transition into a golden era. Now, the transition will be smooth if the people on the planet live the way her son expects us to live, and just like we've been saying, peacefully, harmoniously. And if they continue living the way they are, it'll be an abrupt, difficult transition, very harsh. And even nations could be annihilated. And that's exactly, I believe, is what we're starting to witness now with these violent eruptions, more and more quakes, volcanic activity. And again, that's why but nothing is cast in stone, because we have free will. And if more and more people, Don, learn to follow your explanations and apply them in their lives, as you cover all the time in your shows, and I'm fortunate to be on and share my perspective as well on the best approach for living, and I exemplify it. I'm not just talking, I walk the talk. In my personal world, everybody comes in, and when they come over to visit, and they'll always say, in my house, they say, Mike, there's something in here. It's very peaceful. And then when they're outside, I've got cats, and we've covered this in the past quite a bit. These cats are not mine, but they're all wrapped around my finger. The cats live peacefully, at least with the birds. Now, they get jealous with other cats coming around because they all feel like I'm their, you know, they're my only cat, you know, they're my buddy, and nobody else is allowed access to me. And it's funny how they act like that. But as far as operating with the other critters that come around, or the birds that are abundantly in my backyard feeding every day, the cats do not bother them because they know I don't want them to bother them. And if they do bother them, then I'll get mad at them. And then they get cut off from my TLC, which they love to get. And so the cats are very intelligent. All God's creatures are very intelligent. They catch on quick. And even in the house, when I have birds that I'm taking care of, and they're not in a cage, and the cats are running around in the house as far as hanging out, but they never bother the birds while they're in the house at all. I can go out of my house for hours, leave the bird, and the bird can fly. But nonetheless, the cats are loose, the bird's loose, and yet I'll come back in and everything's peaceful. The cats don't even bother chasing the birds around, trying to get them, stalk them, hunt them. And so we are the lords over the planet. All the creatures respond to our direction. We just have to set the example and have the patience, because some will catch on faster than others. The ones that don't catch on too fast requires more patience, more effort, little gradual disciplines, not a harsh discipline all at once. It's gradual disciplines. You don't want to scare them away and make them afraid of you and they won't come back. So it's got to be very gradual disciplines. Just got to get the right technique down. And when you do, you will master your own personal world. Everything will be the way you like it, nice and peaceful and harmonious.
Yeah.
And when we all operate as at the individual level like that, we will transform the planet.
You know,
I
have the same experience with animals myself. What we're talking about here are species that in some situations, one is a predator and the other is its target.
That's right.
And they learn to get along as different species, and yet humanity
can't
because of their unwillingness in general to become conscious and to fulfill their purpose in life, their true purpose in life, cannot get along with each other.
That's right. Isn't that sad?
You know, buy into all of this stuff that they need government to survive and that government is going to protect them and provide them with security. And if there's change taking place through the government, that it's honorable and even sacred. When we see that that's nothing but an illusion,
that's right,
just empty words.
And also the selfishness is entangled in their problem. Of their personal worlds, all that selfishness, you know, like I better grab all I can for me and the hell with everybody else because, you know, there's going to be a shortage soon or things like that. Instead of having the understanding that God provides all the time. And as I always say, the Lord takes care of his own. What are you afraid of? Just stay close to the Lord and the Lord will take care of his own. You could be in a desert with drought all around you, no water at all. Everybody's dying of thirst, but you will find the oasis in that desert. The Lord will bring it to you because the Lord takes care of his own. There's nothing to fear at all. And that's the reality that people have to gravitate to. They have to break away from their mortal conditioning that we're trapped in and that the controllers exploit to the max because they know exactly what we're designed like. And we have to open up our immortal nature, which is the direct link to our creator. And then you'll come to see that the Lord takes care of his own. There's nothing to fear. There's really abundance all around us.
Yeah. Krishnamurti said that our minds have been extremely or completely commercialized. And what he's saying is that our minds only respond to profit and loss, having or not having. And mm-hmm. and this endless pursuit after obtaining material things, owning material things, and collecting, gathering material things, which are not anything to do with who we are.
That's
We identify with those things because of the programming that the mind has gone through. And that is what is not going to be able to exist in the coming changes that are taking place. These are happening. These changes are occurring all throughout our solar system and throughout the galaxy as well.
It's a transforming process that we're experiencing. It's a special time for us, actually. We're very privileged, actually, to live at this time. And so I'd rather not be alive. I used to hear that a lot because the people aren't connected with their spiritual nature. And therefore, they're not connected to the creator. And that's why they feel, oh, Mike, I don't even want to be alive anymore. It's like, oh, my gosh, you poor people. You're missing it. Magic is so strong right now in our world. If you can only perceive it and utilize it.
Well, Michael, we're out of time.
Well, Don, let me just use as a quick example before we wrap up then of the points you just brought up with how animals get along and stuff. And I got to get my other old computer system fixed so I can get some pictures out of examples where you've seen those photos like of a polar bear and there's a bunch of huskies on a dog sled.
When they're playing or...
Yeah, and the owner of the dog sled and those huskies... he was afraid when he seen the polar bear coming, so he took off, figuring his dogs were dead meat, right? And what happens? The polar bear's playing, and you see the photos of the polar bear hugging, the dog licking the polar bear. And this would happen every night. The polar bear would keep coming back around for about a week while the guy was staying in that area. And the same thing would happen all the time. And I've seen photos, another example of in Africa, with these leopards, and they've got a young fawn, and you figure it's dead meat. But the leopards are showing affection. They're hugging it. They're protecting it. They're licking it, kissing it, okay? And so it's like, look, people, if it wasn't for the fallen nature of our ancestors, there wouldn't be any predators. The unfortunate carnivores have to eat, but once they do, they're not like these Rockefellers and Schwarzschilds constantly plotting more ways to devour everything around them. They live at peace the rest of their time. And so we have to pray for the good Lord's, the Almighty's new world order, the will of the Almighty to finally get back and establish itself here on this planet. It only happens by us as the lords of this garden, allowing the will of the Father to operate through us. And then the predators will disappear. There will be a transformation coming that will convert the predators back to grazers the way it was in the beginning. It's going to be beautiful. And we have to keep our focus on that and support that endeavor, and we will all prosper in the process.
Yes, I agree. You know, while you were talking, the word sanguine came to mind. And I was thinking of it in its archaic context. Today, the word means cheerfully optimistic. But the original meaning of the word meant bloody or bloodthirsty.
Yes, sanguine as in sangra, the blood.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So isn't it interesting how words are twisted to portray or present images for the mind to contemplate, when in reality the word sang in French is blood. Okay,
yes.
It's telling a little bit about the nature of those who have created this system, and in every aspect, whether it's business, religion, education, government, and all the associated businesses that feed like vampires off of us, who are the producers. Michael, you talked about this several times with me when we did a producers and non-producers show, where we just described these entities like the government. They don't do anything except demand payment for,
yes.
For
they want the fruits of your labor.
Yeah.
That's right. While they themselves don't labor at all towards anything that bears fruit.
You see, that in and of itself creates a foundational frequency on this planet that is in a downward spiral.
That's right.
It can only degenerate as time goes on.
Exactly right. It's a destructive mode. Absolutely.
You know, and the point here, the whole point that we're trying to make that tonight is discerning what's going on. I think the callers were great tonight. They brought up these points of having studied this and observing patterns and noticing that this goes beyond coincidence that these things are happening like this with more frequency. Now, that does not discount the consciousness of the Earth. I in no way, and I'm sure you don't either, Michael, intend to represent that the Earth is just a victim of all of this.
Oh, not at all.
There is an intelligence. The Earth is a conscious living being. Because you are unable to perceive that doesn't mean make that not true.
Look, it's scientific fact. The Earth has a heartbeat, and they know that. And so, obviously, it's a living thing. And she's way more powerful than than we are. And so only a fool would believe that they can totally subdue Mother Nature. I mean, that's like saying you're going to conquer God. And only a fool's going to try to conceive such thoughts.
But that's the nature of this whole game. That's
of the sinister forces, Don. That's how pathetic they are. Absolutely right.
They want to be God. They want to replace God.
Yes, they do. They want to displace the Almighty's presence from our world. That's what they're hell-bent on doing. And they'll die as a result of such a foolish effort.
Yeah, in more ways than one. Well, Michael, got to say goodnight. But appreciate you being on the show. We're at the end of the month here. You've been a weekly guest throughout this month, and I look forward to having you on again in April. For those out there that haven't checked out Michael Anthony's private stock, go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on sponsors, and Michael's got a whole page there. Read about some of his products. Michael, want to wish you a good night. Look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints.
Thank you very much, Don. Always a pleasure, a lot of fun, and God bless everybody listening. Just dwell in the light, and you'll be happy. Good night, and God bless.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for helping us spread the word of the truth around the planet. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Don Newsom on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guests will be, my special guest will be yours truly. I'm going to do a solo tomorrow, and we're going to talk more about this consciousness thing and how we can take charge ourselves and produce the change that was promised to us back in 2007, 2008. Things change all the time, folks. Let's take charge. So I look forward to you tuning in. I want to thank tonight's callers, Robert in Arizona and Eddie in New York. Very interesting comments and questions. Hope to hear from you again soon. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.